We're officially recording. So welcome everyone to our May community call. Yeah, we're so excited to see you all and to get to talk about our theme. Oh, there's someone else, I'll admit them. Our theme for the month, which is, what is it, Nick? It's content, offering, client attraction. Just that's a one. One.
Just jam pack it all in there for May.
Yeah. We can pack it all in one call. So as you might all remember, the purpose of this call is just to come together and connect with one another and see how we're doing. If you completed your worksheet, we'll touch base on that if there's anything that you would like to share from it. Nick and I will also talk a bit about the theme. We'll answer perhaps a couple of questions that were in the Facebook group if we have time, otherwise we can return to them later and see if there's anything that you all want to talk about as well. I think that's about it, but we'll start by anchoring in and feeling into ourselves, I guess.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
And I'm going to use this.
Oh, geez. How is that kind of cool?
While you're leading us through something really gentle, I'll be like getting knots out of my back.
Yeah, that's good. I could do with getting some knots out of my shoulders. So
you've been sitting too much.
Welcome, everyone. Yeah, so let's take a little moment to just settle in and let ourselves really come into the present. And acknowledge ourselves for carving out time in our day to be here together. So if it feels nice, you might like to close your eyes down and start by just taking in a nice, full, deep breath and exhaling slowly. And again, another nice deep breath. And letting it out, whatever way feels good. You might like to do a little scan around the room with your hearing and see what you can hear in your vicinity. I can hear the fans going. And the magpie. And just breathing normally, you can start to scan through your body and starting with your forehead, just see if you can relax your forehead and let it be smooth and soft. Soften your eyes. Relax your jaw. See if you can let your tongue just relax. As you keep scanning down, just notice your shoulders. See if there's little bit of movement that you can give to them or a wiggle here or there to help them to just let go. Scanning down to your heart center, relaxing your chest, opening your chest. Down to your belly, see if you can soften your belly. Just notice if there's any sensations you can feel inside your body. Get really curious. Notice the sensation of gravity and your weight with your seat resting on your chair. Maybe the backs of your legs also being supported. If your mind wanders, just bring it back. It's all good. This is just a little moment to give yourself a break from all the thinking. Now notice your feet. See what sensations you can feel. Maybe wiggle your toes. Acknowledge yourself for carving out this time, and we'll set our intentions now to come together and support one another with your gentle business mastermind buddies. You can show up exactly as you are. You don't need to be any different. And enjoy the sense of community and camaraderie that comes from coming together. When you're ready, can crack open your eyes. Welcome, everyone. I've been so looking forward to seeing everyone again today. I don't know if it's COVID-19 and being in lockdown, but it feels like ages since getting to have good conversations. And this morning's call was so much fun, wasn't it, Nay? I definitely recommend listening to the replay. Yeah, if you have time and the inclination. It was really juicy, and we get to another connection all over tonight. So thanks for being here, everyone. As Nay said, sorry, go, Nay.
You're right. You go next.
We are going to be sharing about content offerings and client attraction, which is pretty exciting and big. And you might be feeling differently around this topic than perhaps at other times, considering world events and everything that's going on, and perhaps the natural momentum that you might have been feeling before has been interrupted in some way, or you might be having another experience together. You might be feeling motivated and inspired to create content and to reach out and connect with your clients and community and offer support. So we just wanted to acknowledge that, and also highlight that we understand how these topics can sometimes bring up different parts of our self-doubts, and it's easy to beat up ourselves if we don't feel like we're creating consistently, or that we often are leaving these tasks to the end of our to-do list because we don't have endless time to work on the business. So we definitely realize that it can be challenging, but today we've got some really helpful tools, hopefully, and we're really excited to brainstorm with you about things that are going to be pertinent for you individually in your own businesses at this point in time, and make it quite a unique, that's not the word I was looking for, personalized experience anyway. So if you've got some questions that you want to bring to the table, please feel free to jump in and pop them in the chat or unmute yourself. You're welcome to interrupt Nay and I at any time too, we won't mind, or we'll wait until the end and we'll go around the group as well after we've had a little bit of a riff on the topic. So what else, Nay? It doesn't have to feel hard. And we do have lots of prompts in our beautiful ebook that is also in the private members area. So we've got a whole chapter in there dedicated to this topic, and there's some great prompts to help you find ways to make this more enjoyable and easier. So some people might like to
work in different ways, and it's really about finding the way that works for you in terms of making content and connecting with your audience and attraction, bringing to life your offerings. And we wanted to touch on some of those ideas, was saying how some people tend to like to batch their content, some like to do a little bit each day, some just create something when the inspiration strikes and then they publish it straight away. And some of us, like Nay mentioned this morning too, we mix it up and we do a blend of all of those things and have variety in our business and the way that we like to work. So it's all good. We don't have to be fitting into a particular box. Yeah.
Well said, Nick.
Great. I'm referring back to our notes if I seem a little bit vague. It's because
it's good.
Oh, good.
I was doing some journaling in between today because I'm doing one of Stacey Jordan Sheldon's programs at the moment around being audacious.
Oh my God. I'd love to see an audacious day.
Yeah, watch out. And I was just reading through like the call notes, and it kind of reminded me a little bit of this morning when we were talking to the other group. I was talking about, for myself at the moment, I'm finding that I'm having to really anchor into like my self-care and spiritual practices in order to feel good about producing and creating, and that's feeling even more important at the moment. And then afterwards, when I hung up, there was a sentence in here from our call, and I'll share it, that Stacey said, and it was, "We're creatures of unlimited potential, not unlimited capacity." And that just really sung to me, because I feel like at the moment, especially, like it's feeling like I need to be mindful of my capacity, and that supports the potential, you know. Mm. So some more vagueness just to throw in there into the mix.
It's really pertinent.
Yeah, I don't know about you all, but I'm just really noticing, especially right now, how I need extra space for some of those things in order to do this business of content and offerings and client attraction.
Yeah, me too, definitely. I think it's such a different time than what we've experienced before, isn't it? And it's important to incorporate that into our understanding and our planning and expectations of what we can do in a day. I know my to-do list each day, I'm trying to keep as lean as possible, and it's helping.
Yeah. I had to accept that there will be less work hours in the day now than usual.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Do people have any questions that you'd like us to dive into, sort of straight out of the gate? How's everyone going with their content creation and offerings and client attraction?
So Danny's head shaking.
Very overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was going to say, for me, it's a bit of a strange time because I feel there's a huge potential there, and I can see a lot of people stepping up in the space I'm in, but it just doesn't feel right for me. And I know this is just bringing up a whole heap of feelings that probably came up 6 months ago about comparing what I'm doing with what other people are doing, but then accepting that I'm at a different stage to a lot of people. Because I mean, I've got my two at home, Jake's six, so I'm doing homeschooling. I've got my four-year-old who's not cooperating with the process of homeschooling and expecting one-on-one attention as well. And so I think I feel proud of the fact that I know that I've got limits and I'm not trying to push beyond that. So it's tempting because I see other people doing amazing things, and I'm sort of, that the thought comes into my head, why aren't I doing more? But then I just recognize that that's okay.
It's so interesting, Prue, because I watch you on social media in the last 2 weeks and I'm like, oh, Prue's so consistent and beautifully showing up each day and she's amazing. So it's funny what goes on in our heads, isn't it? And I think that I've been working through those thoughts of comparison as well. So thank you for bringing it up. Danny said she also is having to stop the comparison. I think people's nervous systems respond in different ways, and I think that the circumstances in people's lives vary so much as well. Like you with a little one at home, it changes the capacity, like Naya was mentioning there, of what is available to pour into our business and what feels right even and feels in balance, and like we're not going to burn ourselves out or hurt our family or all those sorts of things too, I feel.
Yeah, I'm noticing even comparison, not necessarily with others but more so with myself, or what I would normally be producing or what my original goals might have been at the beginning of the year. Kind of observing that with interest as well.
Yeah, same. I had a really, you mentioned this morning that you've been having conversations with your ego, and I love that. I've been pondering that today, and how, you know, we started out this year with plans perhaps of what we were going to achieve and what we're going to produce and create, and then this curveball's come about, and having to reassess and bring ourselves back into the present with what is possible within our capacity and resources and what's appropriate now too, because sometimes going ahead and forging on with goals that we set 4 or 5 months ago is no longer appropriate. And that's all okay. But I think we live in a culture that is so, you know, it's sort of hammered into you about goal setting, and it can be hammered into us about achievement and all those things, that it can be difficult to remember that we are allowed to be flexible. We can change our mind. We can respond in a way that is appropriate to the current circumstances.
Yeah. Just as an example, like I think at the start of the year, or maybe I'm thinking start of the financial year, I can't remember now, but when I was doing like my forecasting and planning, I thought I wanted to start working with more one-on-one clients again, because I had kind of stopped working with so many one-on-one clients. And now the thought of that is just, yeah, that doesn't feel right at all anymore to be working with a lot of one-on-one clients. So like I have to have a little chat with myself there, because that is going to impact my income and plans and capacity and whatnot as well.
But you've got Daniel at home now, so it's so different, isn't it?
I'm sure he would love to help with coaching, but
he's such a good help too.
If anyone wants some help with Minecraft, he's a legend at that, apparently. And not many people want to talk to him about it. So if anyone has interest, you're welcome to have a Zoom chat with Daniel about Minecraft. But yeah, otherwise, no. Change in plans. And I'm having those windows of real inspiration as well. Julie, what you said there with ups and downs, I totally resonate with that. There's moments where I just feel completely in flow and I'm being really prolific, and then other moments where I'm just like, is it beer o'clock yet?
And Laurel is, and I hope I'm saying your name correctly, Laurel, but I'm just loving your posts at the moment too. I resonate and jump up and down each time I read them. I think, oh, so much wisdom and so beautiful, putting things into words that are so helpful, I think, at this time, and full of wisdom. I just am loving them. I hope you write a book, because I would read it in a heartbeat.
Oh, thank you so much. I've actually sort of written about 180,000 words. I'm that is on my agenda to do.
Awesome.
But it's so funny listening to everyone, because I've got teenage kids and they're very self-directed, and also am having sort of on enforced leave from my part-time job. So, excuse me, I'm cooking dinner at the same time. multitasking as we do. Just for the now anyway. Yeah, so I have space and capacity right now, whereas in next week, once my job starts up again, that might change a little. So I'm like grabbing the momentum of this time to try and really nail the offerings I want to. And I've thought very deeply over the last month and a half or so about, you know, where the need is right now, what I'm drawn and called to do. So I have changed my offerings and I'm just putting them out this week. So I thought I'll get them done this week and this job starts next week. But yeah, I definitely want to acknowledge that if I had primary school kids or just in a different situation or was working full time, there's no way I'd have the capacity to have this kind of output and just that space so I can have that inspiration come through and can spend the time crafting my words and all the rest of it. So we're all in such different boats. And that makes me think, because I literally just published quite a long newsletter to people explaining, I really wanted to explain, because it's been a shift, what I've been doing. And I'm just listening to everyone thinking, oh my God, that maybe that was like people looking at just not having, some of them won't have the capacity to even read that as much as I wrote. But anyway, hopefully it'll reach the ones that need it.
I'm sure it will. Some would love to as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And meaningful and helpful.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, yeah, lots of passion coming through right now. I'll jump on a little later when I'm not doing dinner.
Okay.
Thanks, Nick.
No worries. Thank you.
Anyone else have anything they would like to ask or share at this stage? Yeah, Angela.
Yeah. I think for me it's kind of finding it more different, maybe because I do more counselling than coaching, that I'm finding that people don't want to do the online. It's they're waiting for face to face. So that is kind of quite, I don't know if it's freaky or strange, because also now it's the worry of when that face-to-face is going to happen. You know, I thought, the 1st of June we'll be back. Now, you know, it could be September. And it's like, right, well, what do I do in the meantime with that? And I've tried not to rush in to do content and create things. I wanted to finish off some other projects. So I'm kind of in this, I don't know, sort of space really of not too sure. And I suppose that's why it's given me the space to work on my sort of creative side of things. But so that's just an observation coming from more of a talking therapy side of things to a coaching side of things. So yeah.
That is really challenging to grapple with.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, do I then create more of a coaching element to it, or, you know, should I shift? And then how do you do that? It's kind of, I'm not too sure, or whether just to be okay and say, oh, just leave it at the moment and that's okay. I have some people who sort of, clients that I had already. I mean, I was full to capacity. I'm down to about 2 or 3 clients now, which is, you know, they're going, but there's no new people coming on board. They're all waiting. And it's not just me, it's with all the counsellors here. People just don't want to do counselling. They want that face to face. So that's been quite an interesting thing to take on board, because when it first all this happened, you know, it's just, yeah, get online, do it, all this energy, get it sorted, to realize nobody actually wants it. So that's something to have to have taken on board, really.
And some people are really sick of Zoom I keep hearing I'm sick of Zoom. Mm. I don't want to be on another Zoom call. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Have you been doing some work on your creative side of things in the meantime, or is that kind of feeling in limbo as well?
That's been quite nice because being able to have, instead of just, you know, like, oh, quick half an hour, I've got to do painting or something, actually having the time to get into that creative space has been really lovely. And I could see the development in my work sort of to do that. I think I've just been frustrated how slow it's still to get things finished, like, you know, with my little book project. That's still not finished. So those things I was hoping to have got finished in this time haven't materialized. But it's also been nice, that kind of taster of what things could be like if I was more focused on my creative business. You know, and it's kind of like, do I run with that? But then that other role that I have kind of did in the past give me some financial security and stability, and I enjoy the work. Well, now it's like, that's not there. What I thought was going to be my stability actually hasn't been. So that's been quite an interesting realization, I suppose. But yes, it's been nice to just have that time with it and to be more creative. It's been great, really nice. And it's like, do I really want to go back and do the other stuff now?
That's why I was asking. I was curious whether those ponderings were coming or not.
Yeah. But I think it's just always been this dichotomy of how do I bring the creativity and the psychology element together, which has always been sort of thinking about creativity coaching. But I think for me, it is more producing maybe interactive journals that are illustrated and things like that. So I've got a few more projects in the pipeline that I might work on, but they are a long time to produce, which I suppose at the moment, so you're saying is, do you want instant stuff to draw people in? And the realization, I can't do that. You know, it could take a year to develop a project, so that in itself is a bit worrying. But you've just got to go with the flow, haven't you, and where you're going. But it's been nice to be able to follow my intuition instead of a to-do list. And I find doing my morning pages is really good. And when I don't get that chance to do my morning pages to sort of check in with myself, that's when I realise that my day just is rubbish or doesn't go to plan or I don't feel right. So that's been quite good to sort of assess that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great to have a tool that you can use like that. And you've been putting together works for sale too, which is very exciting to see. And painting boxes. I love the boxes.
I think that comes back because I think my first business that I set up I was 22, straight out of art college. I used to, it was handmade ceramics. So that sort of 3D element. So I am trying to, I'll have to start figuring out how I can put that onto 3D forms. So that's quite interesting. I have been enjoying doing those. So I'm thankful for this time to be able to go, I can do that and launch that. It's whether in a few months' time I'm then going to be drawn away from that again and whether I want that or not.
You might know that then. You might not know that now, but you'll know it then. So you can keep doing what you enjoy now.
I think I already know the answer, but it's also scary to let go of something that you thought gave you stability and security. So you're going to be a few little internal conversations and battles going on, which I think a lot of us are all this, should I be doing, should I be being, should I be contenting, should I be this? Mm. It's very uncertain for everybody.
Yeah, there's a real, seems to be like reassessment of values and what's important to a lot of people at the moment.
I was just wondering though, for you, you're saying like letting go of, I suppose it's like letting go, and you're saying the letting go of your one-to-one clients. I mean, what's that like for you to, for that recognition that actually what I thought at the beginning of the year isn't actually what I want? I was just wondering, you know, how do you embrace that, if that makes sense?
I resonate a lot with what you were saying, because it is scary. Because I think I've realized, especially over the last few months, that one of the projects that I'm working on, I would like to transition to becoming my main project. And sure, maybe one-on-one might fit under that in some capacity down the track. But for now, that's what I want to move toward. And at the moment, with limited capacity to work on things and a looming launch happening for that next iteration of that project, Feminist Coach Academy, I just don't really have the capacity to be taking on more clients and to be really serving them at a level that I would like to be serving them at while I'm doing that. So it has meant like looking at numbers and freaking out, especially since there will be a delay because of all of this and other things with that project as well. And just having a conversation with myself about, well, what do I really need, and how much money do we really need as a household? How much of it is my ego, because I want to feel like I'm contributing and my business is continuously growing and all of that. Like, how much of it is that, and how much of it is genuine security and things? So just kind of examining those. I keep saying just, like it's real easy, but it's not. And I think it's been trying not to be thinking in a binary way around it as well, because I think sometimes I maybe get caught up in, well, that means I don't want more one-on-one clients at all, which is not true. Like I do, and I still love working one-on-one. It's just being mindful of what my capacity is there and how many and what type of client, and being more choosy perhaps and things like that.
Yeah.
So vague answer, but a lot of it is ego, fear-based stuff that I'm wrestling with.
But it's a blend too, isn't it? Because there's the practicalities, like you acknowledge there, of income, and it doesn't have to all be lumped into, you know, it's just ego, because we do need to make money to pay for things. But I guess trust is, seeing where our edges are around the uncertainty, and if a launch doesn't go to plan, you know, perhaps thinking through those backup plans is what I like to have, or, you know, what could I do then? If this, then that. If this, then that. And it can give a sense of security, so that you can kind of go all in after the thing that your heart really is passionate about and excited about. But then if your mind starts having mind chatter around, you know, what if it doesn't pan out? I find it really useful to, plan out these alternative scenarios. Well, then I could do this.
I'm good at from the public service risk analysis side of me. Like, I'm great at planning for the worst case scenario, and I'm terrible at, I'm coaching myself to do it, at planning for like best case, being open to possibility and that side of things, which is hilarious given my job and what I help other people do. But yeah, that public servant in me is still there, wanting to do those risk analyses and planning for the worst. Does that answer the question, Angela? I don't know if it's answers it was helpful at all.
I think it just shows just how vague everything is at the moment. It's just a case of, well, I can be saying this, but actually tomorrow it's going to be something different. Or, you know, is it how best for you to fill this void space that is being generated and get you through it sane, really, both personally and business-wise, what works, and to go with that at the moment. And I'm sure in 3 months' time, it's going to be completely different. So, yeah, I have no answers. I've got no idea what the heck I'm doing. You know, hey! But then I'm okay with that, I suppose, to a certain degree.
I was just going to share, and Nate's probably applies to you, I think it's also maybe not necessarily an all or nothing. I know that part of the reason why I came to coaching was I was coached by someone, and she only took on clients for a limited window while she was working on a book, just as a supplement. So she didn't have an intention of going back to doing one-on-one coaching in the long term. It was just like, I've got this window, I'll have 5 people during that window and that was it. So I think, you know, maybe you don't need to see it as I'm going to go back to one-on-one coaching long term. You might just say, in this window of time, I'm going to take on this many people and that's going to be it. Because she's now no longer doing one-on-one coaching. That was kind of just a...
You were the lucky one.
I was a bit lucky. Yeah. She does all group programs and stuff now, so it doesn't do anyone one-on-one. But it was just because that's what fitted with what she was doing in terms of writing a book as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Very, very, very wise.
Yeah, we're always having to challenge that all or nothing binary thinking. Hey, it's just so ingrained in us. There's been many a journaling in my diary about that.
We're going to leave the safe harbour and we're going to sink, or we're going to get to the paradise island.
Don't say things like that on a boat.
That's why I'm saying it. Well, we have to think about it.
It took me a while to catch up then. I was just like, what? You're sinking.
Yeah. Our neighbour was telling us about how his boat nearly sunk a few months ago. It does happen. So let's... would anyone else like to ask some questions right now? Or just share what's happening in your world? Sabrina, you've been very quiet. It's lovely to see you here.
I'm settling into the new normal.
Yes.
So I've gotten to a nice little calm, easeful spot. And I work in the office 1 week and then I'm at home for 2 weeks. And what I'm finding interesting to notice is how much of other people's energy I take on. So the 2 weeks that I'm at home, I'm actually starting to notice the creative spark come back because I'm just a happy introvert working from home. I'm good. Which actually has me worried about going back to what was normal.
Just hold your cord away from your body there, I think, and it'll stop making... There we go. That's great.
That better?
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, so I'm a little bit concerned about going back to what was normal beforehand, but I'll deal with that when that arises. So it has been nice to notice the creativity and the ease and to come through and... It sparked a new opt-in idea. It's sparking just different language that I'm starting to use. I'm enjoying it where I am right now.
That's great. That sounds like a lovely balance, 1 week, 2 weeks.
This week I've been in the office a bit more. I'm noticing it a bit more this week. But it is nice to get out of the house because otherwise I think I'd become quite recluse.
You have the cats there to give input to.
Yes. Gotta have a break every now and then too.
That's exciting. You've been feeling inspired and coming up with a new opt-in idea as well. Was that the one with that you mentioned on the last call?
No, so I've changed. So what I thought was my opt-in, I've put that one aside. So I'm doing a 21-day journaling guide about finding ease through your thoughts. And it just feels really good.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Awesome. Thank you. Nice to hear your voice. Well, shall we dive into these juicy questions that have been sort of pre-submitted on the Facebook group, Nate?
Yeah,
I missed them today, but I can see you've got them here on our handy dandy document. So
I copied them in. I think one was about Facebook ads. This
Yes, I'd love to ask about the subject of Facebook ads. The best way to set them up, targeting wise, if you found them useful when trying to reach new people. Any tips and tricks? Thanks. Yes. So I'm happy to talk to this topic. I'm not sure. Have you used Facebook ads much, Nate?
I'm in the beginning stages. I've only used it a little bit, whereas I know you've been using it a lot longer than me. So.
Yeah. So I have used Facebook ads for years, usually when I'm in a launch, and I do find them useful, very much so. But it takes some tweaking. And Insta ads. I haven't used Insta ads very well. I've only had them accidentally going out. So no, not Insta ads. I'm not the expert there, but Facebook ads, definitely. So what can we share there? I think that my strategy with Facebook ads has always been to drive to an opt-in. So rather than going straight to a sales page or to an offer, would do is try and break down, break my audiences inside the Facebook Ads Manager into cold leads and into warm leads as the audiences. So the cold leads are people that might be interested in a certain topic that is related to my opt-in, but they are not connected with my business. So they haven't liked my page, they haven't necessarily visited my website, but they are interested in creativity, for example. And then you can set up the Facebook pixel on your website. That's really important, so that you can track your conversions. And feel free to jump in here and tell me where you're up to. Maybe I'll ask you, where are you up to with the ads? Have you started it at all, Laurel?
Sorry, my internet keeps jumping in and out. I missed that last couple of sentences, but I got connected. You were talking about like connecting it to a certain topic. Sorry.
That's okay.
Re-listen rather than waste everybody's time, but my internet's shocking tonight. Where I'm up to, basically I don't have an opt-in because I've been a bit lazy or like I've got a bit of a rebel in me that says, no, I don't want to do it like everybody else does it. but I put out an offer. So in 2 weeks time, I'm off running new sessions and I do have a small group, that I email for newsletters, and I've got a very small private Facebook group as well as my public pages. Mm-hmm. But I feel called to sort of, I guess, expand the reach now and realizing that I'm kind of, they're just saying the same thing to the same people. Mm-hmm. And it's time to, I guess, speak to new people. So I have used Facebook ads, I don't know, 3 years ago when I started, or 3 or 4 years ago when I was advertising my Soul Circle for the first time, but I haven't used them for about 3 years. And because we've sort of established a community for that circle now. And I just going into to just set one up for this offering, which was literally just going to be linking a post, a Facebook post, which introduced the tune-in sessions that I'm running. I was just going to turn that into an ad. I don't know if that's a good idea or not, but yeah, and it just looks so much more complicated than it did before. So that's where I'm up to, is just trying to figure out, oh God, there's all these, because when I was trying to split it into the topics that they may be interested in, and I was trying to do it on my phone, which
oh,
I think
dear. No, don't do that.
Work better.
Yeah, definitely do it on your computer. Mm. Frozen a little bit there.
I can see you there moving, but is there anyone else frozen? Oh, there we are. There you are. We're back.
We're back.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. This might be annoying.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's all good.
So what did you say?
I was just saying I would definitely be doing it on your computer rather than on your phone. I think that would be extremely hard.
Yeah, it was hard. Yeah. Wasn't working, and I thought, oh, this is difficult. They've made it more complex than it used to be. So that's why I asked the question. So that's where I'm at, basically.
Well, a simple way to do, if you wanted to share a post, would be to do a boosted post. Yeah. So yeah, and just and start there with people that are connected to your page through you know, the third party sort of thing, like friends of friends kind of connection, whatever that language is for that option.
Yeah. Yeah.
And see what comes of it. And it's also not hugely expensive to do the boost post. Otherwise, I think it's about setting up a campaign that, you know, if you want to invest more money into it, I would highly recommend capturing those email addresses so that you get the return on investment over the longer term.
I will. That is actually in my plan to do an opt-in. I've definitely come to the party now.
You could just put some of your lovely things in a PDF that you've been putting on Instagram.
I guess so.
And that's it. It's done. It's like so nice what you've been
writing. Simple? Okay.
Yeah. Give it a nice name. Yeah.
Yep.
Mindfulness tools or body-centered practices to help you through COVID-19. I don't know. Something.
Yeah. That's a good idea. I kind of think in my head it's the perfectionist back from the legal days. It's got to be this thing, and it doesn't necessarily have to be so big and bold, does it? It was boosted posts that I was doing, not targeted ads, I guess.
Okay, cool.
It's good to see the difference. And I think it's because a lot of people don't see, you know, like only a certain amount of people see it now because of the algorithm. So it's more that even though you might have 300 people on your page, they, you know, 10 people see it.
Yeah.
So it's
definitely.
That. It's to try and counter that so it can just give it the best chance.
Well, that sounds great. That's a good strategy.
Okay, I'll do that. Beautiful.
Well done. Awesome.
Definitely going through an audacious phase right now, using that word, Naomi.
So much audacity on this call.
Anyway, it's good. So Danny says something as well. What Facebook ads do you find video or words work best?
I've been using words. I did make a little video for my last one, and I tried this whiz bang fandangled strategy that I learned about. You get you pay to share a video, and then you can retarget people that watch 10 seconds of the video, and that became a warm lead. And I didn't get great results from it, Danny. That might have been the video that I made, though. I'm not exactly sure if I was. I'm sure I have read many blog posts and seen teachers share that strategy, and it's worked for them. I think perhaps for me, I was doing like a little intro video about who I was and what I do, instead of it being, you know, a free content kind of, here's how to paint or here's how to overcome creative blocks. That might have been more effective for that result. But for me, I've definitely found that just using words and crafting that copy. And I would always do multiple versions of an ad. So at least 3 to 5 or 7 or 10 in a campaign, and set a low limit on each of the ad spends for the day. Monitor, see which one's getting the best conversion rates after two days, and then can the other ads and put the money into that campaign. Yeah. And keep monitoring it. I monitor them every day because it changes. Yeah. What sort of spend do I put in? Okay, so, it depends what the budget is for your overall campaign, but you can just start with People always hesitate to say what you should do here because different categories. I found some really interesting things in the last Facebook ad campaigns that I did. There were two things that I found. The ad spend and my conversion rates changed over the 3 months that I ran the ads drastically. 1 month when it was getting close to Christmas, my ad spend tripled for the same conversions. And so I'm not going to be advertising that month next year. It was too competitive in the marketplace. So it wasn't that my copy was no good, or it wasn't that people weren't interested in what I was doing. It was the marketplace on Facebook was saturated. And so therefore you're paying higher price to get eyeballs on your ad. So if you don't know those things and you jump in, you can be really, I guess what I realized was you could be discouraged and see that you're not getting the conversion rate that other people talk about getting. If you just happen to be doing it at a time when there's a lot of competition for your audience at that time of year. But to give you a figure, I would probably put down, say, $10 a day as a minimum for me, because I need to get some kind of, you know, volume of results to start to see some more accurate data. Yeah. Some would say $5 a day, but I think, you know, $10, $15, $20 a day is going to get you better data.
I'll find it afterwards, but there's a great, I think it's Claire Pelletreau, is it who does Facebook ads? There's a great spreadsheet that helps you calculate what ad spend would work best for you, especially if you're new to doing ads, because I'm new, to doing them. You start out in a learning phase or a development phase or something like that under Facebook, and until you get out of that phase, the algorithm doesn't really work in your favor. So she has this spreadsheet that helps calculate based on conversions and ad spend how much you would need to spend to help you get out of that learning phase, so then you can have more optimal results. So I'll have a look for that and share it after.
I might just ask a question, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Get out of that developmental phase. Do you think those 15-second Facebook videos that you do and then boost them, would that help with the traction of then moving you up to that next level? So then when you wanted to spend, when you wanted to launch and spend more money, you would already be in that next group.
Yeah, well, Nick, correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't know anything about the answer. Okay. I don't know.
And I'm not an expert either. But from what I was reading and from what my coach Lena West told me, she said that's why in those first ads, the goal isn't for conversion necessarily, definitely not sales conversion. Mm. In those first ones, maybe not even opt-in conversion. It's more those thought piece types, which can be just content that was in a blog post that's really useful, that sets you up as an expert and that builds that know, like, trust factor and tells Facebook that people are interacting with your ad. Mm. But then I think there's something around the number of conversions, and I can't remember how they track that helps you get out of the learning phase. I know for us, we got really, excuse my language, screwed over with it. Our ad got approved and it ran for almost a week, and we spent the amount needed. And then just before we got to that, just before the conversions, they pulled the ad. I forget what they thought was wrong with it, but with feminist ads, we're always getting in trouble for something. but she has a whole post that kind of breaks down what you need to do to get out of the learning phase, kind of the steps to it, and then also a spreadsheet for calculating the amounts and things like that. As well.
Does it say in your Facebook manager that you're in a learning phase? Tell you that?
I don't know that it does. You can find it somewhere in there, but I can't remember how. I had phone calls and chats and hours with Facebook over it, and they could confirm that we were still in the learning phase and that they couldn't do anything about the fact that that ad had gone into review again, which meant that it now started from scratch. So anytime that you edit it or it goes into review again, you lose all of your
So you're saying that the ad was in the learning phase and they couldn't give you the stats?
My account is in the learning phase because I'm a new user. And so they try to, like, I think they try to recommend that you have like a larger spend on that first ad so you reach those, whatever they need you to reach to get out of that learning phase. And then from then on, you'll have, in theory, better results and conversions. Mm. Yeah, it's also complex.
What's a larger spend?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah.
$1 million question.
Anything feels like a large spend to me on Facebook ads, and I know it's not.
Different people have different thresholds too, I think, for spending on Facebook.
For us, we were doing, I think it was like $20 a day or something like that, and we had to up it a bit to get out of the learning phase. So I can't remember what it was specifically. We've got to go and do it all again now because it didn't work out.
For those listening, Danny says, I've heard $60 a day and up.
I'll put the links to her site in there, but I'll find the specific. So one of them is her YouTube channel and the other is her website. But afterwards, I'll have a look for that specific learning on, because it's free, and spreadsheet on.
The other really interesting thing about Facebook is to look through the reports and bring up the report that is about, I think it's called All Conversions. There's a drop down and you can choose which parts of data you see, and definitely following through to see what your conversion rate is for somebody to buy your program and how much it costs you to acquire that customer is really valuable information. And then you know if that ad campaign's working, you can put some more money into it next time around. Yeah, I've heard Julie's asking, has anyone tried YouTube ads? Apparently they can be cheaper. I haven't tried them. My husband's been suggesting that I try them, but I haven't as yet. I'd love to. Has anybody tried them?
Maybe we need an ad mentor to come in and answer all our questions.
Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Has anyone else had experience with ads that can say that we just told all lies and the truth actually is?
I think
not good.
Looking at it as a little bit of a long game too is useful. So recognizing that people that hop on your list this launch, they might not convert into sales this launch, but just keep providing free value and building that relationship, and next time around they might be ready to put the money on the line. So don't feel like, you know, you've invested XYZ in this launch and therefore it was all a waste. It's not necessarily the case. Come back and check again and see what happens. Even if you don't do ads again, if you've still got that pixel running, it will still track the conversion quite possibly. What tips would you give for building relationships? Just be nice, Angela.
Be yourself.
I think building relationships is lots of elements to it, but showing up in either through your newsletter or through social media and sharing a little bit of yourself is nice. I think people do like to know a little bit about what's happening somewhat. That's what I like. I tend to read newsletters that have a little bit of a personal story as well as about, you know, information, and sort of choosing the way that works for you in terms of putting content out. But you're building relationships all the time on Instagram too, through interacting with people and responding, and all of that's all relationship building.
And I love when I get one of your newsletters.
Yeah, well, I want some Angela. More, actually, Angela. Yeah. I think that, yeah, send we need more. A few more Angela newsletters.
Yes, I've been a bit rubbish with the newsletters this year.
I love your newsletters.
I think I keep on waiting until I've got my book done or my artwork, so I've got something to share.
Yeah. But
it's taking forever. But, yeah, I think it was just... how would you describe building relationships? You know, what is building a relationship for you individually? Because that means something different for all of us. Mm. Maybe that's what, I mean, instead of tips, but what does it mean for you and your business to do that?
So philosophical. Maybe. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yes, I have been a bit philosophical. I think it's brought it all out in us, hasn't it?
I love it.
This right here is my favorite way of building relationships. Yeah, I like talking with people. It's my favorite.
Yeah, and same with even on social media and the newsletters, it's the kind of response, the engagement and relationship building there. I don't like the, like, I'm talking to an echo chamber and not getting anything back.
Yeah, you always invite people to write back to you. I don't invite people to write back to me because I don't really like email. So I don't invite relationship building via newsletters too much. I like sharing them, but I don't want to write back to you.
Just show up to my group calls, okay?
Yeah. Comment on my Instagram.
Yeah. And it takes a while. Yeah, I always find it interesting how long you've known somebody in this space, or they've been, you know, following you on social media or on your newsletter list before they will risk doing this group call face-to-face with you business. Yeah, so keep sending those newsletters that we love.
Yes.
Yeah, didn't get real deep and philosophical there, did we?
Voted down.
I might share if that's okay.
Go, Danny. Yes.
So at the moment I'm seeing relationships as revenue. So
yes, that's the CEO of you.
I know. Because the way I see it, like, they may not be paying me now, but the relationships building that I'm putting in at the moment will convert to revenue when people are ready to invest more and show up for themselves a bit more. Because I know at the moment I don't have the capacity to show up for myself in a way that to go deep in coaching and things like that. So I figure that my clients wouldn't as well. And the ones who have, like, they're still continuing, they're buying and everything. But yeah, so I've been showing up as a relationships as revenue. So even today I put on a $100 coffee tab at my local cafe for my clients or for my community. And I've never received so many replies to a newsletter before.
Wow.
And $60 of it went.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was pretty good.
I thought that was genius, Danny. I've never heard of anyone doing that before. So clever and so generous and smart.
Yeah, I stole the idea from a business group in the US.
Awesome.
And no one in my local area is doing it. So the response was amazing. And then people started sending me photos of them with their coffee, and I asked them to buy something from the cafe as well. So it would be like a coffee and a muffin, a coffee and a toastie. And, yeah, the cafe, they even put money towards it as well. They put 4 coffees worth in as well. It was really good. But that's how I'm seeing it at the moment. So it's not about conversion, it's not about selling, it's about relationships as revenue in the long run.
And such a lovely way to build that relationship too, for you within your capacity, Danny. Like, you didn't even have to be the one making the coffees.
And I made sure I wasn't there, so I didn't want to be. And I guess I'm in a very unique situation. The coffee shop that I go to every day is at the end of my street. I teach yoga at the other end of the street. So it's all in my one local area, but that's where everyone sees me. And I figured if they can come to yoga, they'll come to the cafe. And then I was replying to everybody too. I'm like, oh, you can, the ones who I know are working, oh, you can pop in before work. They open at 7. Or, and if they have children, I'd remember to like what their child's name was. I'm like, oh, you can take them down for a baby chino.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it was such a great campaign in the end. And I know that, yeah, that cost me $100.
Better than Facebook ads. Hands down, I bet you'll get more revenue from that than a Facebook ad.
Completely. And even like, I was shocked. The people who weren't even local were emailing me back going, oh, I wish I lived closer because that's amazing. And then I've had now more people from that newsletter reach out to buy like one-on-one sessions and everything as well. And they, there was no mention of one-on-one sessions in that newsletter. It was just what I was doing for them. So, yeah, it's just a different way that I'm looking at it at the moment.
It's beautiful, Danny. Thanks for sharing that. Very inspiring. Julie's got a great question. Shall we go to Julie's question now? We've got it already written, Julie, so you don't have to speak if you...
I was looking in the comments. I was like, what is there? What did we miss?
Julie says... I'm still doing B-School, and though I should go back to my ideal customer section, I'm struggling to get in contact with her on a level deeper than a like on Instagram. Yeah. Do you have any tips for me? I do not have anyone near me that fits the description, so I find it a bit hard. My ideal customer lives in either Melbourne, Sydney, or Canberra, is between 28 and 45, is conscious about her impact on the environment, and likes to travel. I've made a quick survey, but not sure where to share it. Many thanks. Oh, such a good question, Julie. Why is she in those cities?
Here, I'm muted. Okay. well, because it's the colder climate. And so she would probably like to travel during the Australian winter. That would be the reason why. Also probably because they probably the kind of person who would take a week off for holiday and in previous life go to Bali. But like not happening. But anyway, that was the idea.
Cool. And are you, what is the offering for you?
Sorry?
What was your offering going to be? Is it to do with travel?
Well, I was doing eco-friendly fashion and travel essentials. For women. Well, obviously it's not going very well, but hey.
Are you still on the island?
I am indeed.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Okay, let's talk about that later. But okay. So I might jump, can I jump in here, Nate?
And yeah, go for it. You look like you're on a train.
Yeah, so I love B School, and I love what I learned through B School. I have found personally that the ideal customer avatar process can be prohibitive in some senses, and not as supportive or useful for me, and I know for other people as well as what it is. For some. And so I tend to like to think more about the energy of the person rather than the demographics of who they are. Think about the values that drive them in their life. Think about how they want to feel in their life. Think about what they want to achieve. And then don't worry about it. It's a bit like when I was at uni, we had to study semiotics, and my teacher said, okay, we're going to learn about semiotics, and we're going to focus a couple of weeks on it. And you're going to learn all about signifiers and all this stuff, and then just forget about it because you don't need to know about it. And then go and do your work. And I think some ways the ideal customer avatar has got some elements of that to it for me. And you're better off putting your energy into feeling into what you have the capacity and the inspiration to be creating or to be offering and bringing to life in the world, and then the energy that you have to around that, because your inspiration and your enthusiasm about it will naturally attract the right people to it, and they will not necessarily be in one demographic, they won't be in one location, they won't be one age group even, but they'll be resonating with your values, you know, around sustainability and the environment and taking care of the earth and climate change and all of those things. And so I think getting clear about the underlying messaging and what lights you up is of more value than getting too worried about your client avatar process.
That is absolutely unbelievably reassuring for me.
Great.
Because I was just really struggling with that.
I've made so many customer avatars. I've never found her. I don't know where she's like sitting on a Pinterest board with a face, and you know, she's not actually that useful. Yeah.
I'm so glad you said that, because I was pretty much going to say the same thing. That's it's been my experience as well. It can be like, we can fill it out, we can find it, some people find it really useful, others don't. They just get stuck in that whole I need to niche down, I need to get this person right, and yeah, people generally aren't that simple. We're kind of complex and multi-layered, and we learn that stuff through doing, and a lot of the time it's an earlier version of ourself anyway, and like we're the best resource or the best client avatar to talk about, and like thinking about, well, what did I need healed, what did I need support with, like what was my vision for myself, and
what did I want to buy or experience have access to.
Yeah, and then trusting that and rolling with it and doing as you were saying.
Thank you. I think that's great advice. It makes me feel a lot better.
Phew, yeah.
One of the reasons why I actually decided to go back there was that, I didn't really do the first time around because I struggled. And the reason I decided to go back there to the avatar was because I'm trying to find an opt-in, another opt-in, because obviously my previous opt-in is no longer really relevant. So I'm trying to find some inspiration. So I thought I'd find inspiration there, but maybe I should just look more inward instead of outward. That might be a something I would need to have a deeper look at, I suppose. But yeah, well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Are they putting the prices up at the grocery store on the island there? We're experiencing that here. It's $15 for oranges at the moment.
Oh, dear.
$18 for cauliflower.
Yeah, well, it's always been expensive here. So yeah. I think there'd be a riot if they even put it even
a little bit more.
Because it's really expensive.
Yeah.
Wow. And yeah, we're stuck here until the island is closed until the 1st of July. So yeah, I don't think I'll be able to go back to mainland before that.
Wow.
So yeah. I have my own island paradise.
A setting to turn inward and come up with an idea for the opt-in.
Up on your paradise, yeah. So, no, that's good. Thank you for that.
All right, Angela, bye. And did we just cancel like a wonderful survey that you had created and you wanted to send around, or is that still something you want to send and want ideas for places for where?
Because surveys are useful. Surveys are different to the ideal customer avatar, I think. I think surveys can be really valuable to get information about what people are looking for, if you did want to go down that path.
Yeah, it's a quick survey. I was going to share it like on Facebook and Instagram and see how that would work. It was very just it's a SurveyMonkey 10 question type thing, mostly asking about what people what's important for them in terms of keywords. It's a bit difficult to see what people are most interested in, like what do they most value. What I have been feeling a little bit is there's more like a return to Australian made type thing, like people are into Australian made things. So I was wondering in relation to sustainability concept, how is that like same level, how is it important for them? So those types of questions, just general questions about what, you know, what was it like after all this is done, you know, do you think that you might travel anytime soon, or, you know, those types of questions, because they're just as relevant to what I was trying to do. So yeah, interesting.
They sound like really interesting questions. It's not just the run of the mill, you know, what's your biggest challenge? That's actually, they're quite specific. And if you felt like putting it on your Facebook page and Instagram, I would still do that, because you could get some really interesting feedback and different perspectives that you haven't thought of, or it could just reaffirm the things that you're already having a gut instinct about, such as the made in Australia. I can see that's going to happen as well. I think in lots of around the world, isn't it? It's going to become, we're going to become more internally focused for manufacturing again. I think putting out the survey sounds like a great idea. Is this, how does it feel for you to do that?
I'm not sure I'm going to get any response. That's my problem. I don't think, like, who answers surveys just for the fun of it these days?
A surprising number of people do actually like surveys, particularly if you keep them short.
And if you give an incentive sometimes, so one of them might win something, that always gets me a lot more completions.
You could give away one of your beautiful, you know, one of your favorite products if you've got something available. You could say, look, go in this and you'll go in the draw to win beautiful.
That's the problem. My stuff is on mainland and I'm here. So, yeah.
That's all right. You could say, I'll send it to you when I can get off the island. It doesn't have to be that they get it, you know, next week. People won't care.
In a month's time or two.
I think people will understand. I'll get a Christmas present. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, I suppose I could do that. I had thought about it, but I was it was more of a I'm like, when am I ever going to get back onto mainland?
You're in such a unique position there.
Sorry?
You're in such a unique position there.
Yeah, it's a bit strange. But yes, oh well, I'm just trying trying to figure things out. I've amazing. I've written 2 blog posts in like one day, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so prolific.
Wow.
I didn't post them in one day, but yeah. And then nothing, and then absolutely nothing. And then it's really up and down these days. But yeah.
I've been feeling similarly.
Same.
Plus, I still have work for, I don't know how long, but
That's still employing you. That's good.
For now, anyway.
And you can, if you do end up sending out the survey, feel free to share it in the group too. And then in case there's anyone in there who can fill it out.
Anyone from Melbourne?
Canberra.
I can send it to some Canberra friends.
Right.
Since I'm from Melbourne. Used to live there.
I can send it to a few people.
Oh, thank you.
I'm in Melbourne.
Okay, yes.
I might even be your demographic. I'm in the age range, so.
Great, thank you. I might just share it on the group and then see how I go. Thanks a lot for your input.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the great question.
Mm. Yeah, any opportunity to poopa on niching? your ideal client avatars. I think that was our pre-submitted ones. Were there any kind of lingering questions or comments that people wanted to put out there?
I've got a question about client attraction, which has been a long-standing question. I think for me, I'm at a stage where I don't have a lot of time to try and build the coaching. And so one question that's kept reoccurring for me is, where do I focus my attention? Like, where am I going to maximize the ability to grow that business? And I know that's not a simple question, but I'd like to know from people who have more established coaching businesses or even just more established businesses working one-on-one with people, where they've actually got the majority of their work from, because that whole Facebook ads conversation just like terrified me, because it's just, I don't know, that seems so technical, and you know, and I just probably don't have the time right now to delve into doing something like that. So it's, what else is, or what is perhaps, or what have people found has been most successful in terms of a focus for building initially? Because I'm still in those very early stages. So, because you can do all the things, and then I just don't really feel like, I don't know whether that's the best use of my time.
Such a good question, Prue. I think for me, one of the things that has helped and helped enormously in the beginning stages was guest posting. So getting on other people's blogs that had an audience that was interested in a similar theme, and then making sure that I had an opt-in that was going to be valuable to those readers as well. So back then I was giving away a free quick and easy veggie patch kit to help people set up a garden. But definitely, like, and you sort of, you're probably going to hear strategies that from Nay and I and others that might just sound like, oh, I've heard that before, and because there sort of aren't any new strategies or like magic bullets, unfortunately. But that one I think is really useful, because it is about getting in front of somebody else's pre-established audience. And if you can somehow it'll increase your credibility from being introduced through that person, or if it's a blog that has a good readership following, like Mind Body Green or something like that, then that's a great approach. Yeah, but making sure that you have to follow up with that bio line where it's directing people back to your website to opt in, so, and then continuing to send some newsletters and showing up as you are on social media to keep developing that know, like, and trust, and that they understand what you do and how you can support them. What about you, Nay? When you first started, you'd had a lot of different strategies that you're implementing to get word out there. I think the other thing is to really kind of hone in on the thing that you like to do and all that you're feeling inspired to do in terms of creating content. So if it is in terms of like a written, if it's the delivery format, so if it's written or video or audio, and allowing yourself to just embrace that and don't feel like it's not enough, or that it's not how somebody else is doing things. I can sometimes get caught up in that in my head, and it's not until years later I look back and go, wow, I can't believe that I could write all that stuff back then so effortlessly. And it just felt so easy that it didn't feel valuable. But in fact, now if I try to repeat that, I'm not in that zone anymore, and so it's not the same. And so I think going with that sense of inspiration that you have, and the things that you're really passionate about, supporting these women as they're navigating this time, allow it to come out and don't second guess that content, because it's not natural for others. Yeah. I hope that makes sense.
No, that's really helpful. You'll laugh because I put the guest blogging in my form tonight, because I do a lot at the start, but I've stopped recently. So yeah, no, that's really good advice. And I think, no, that's all really good. That's all really helpful.
Yeah.
Because I think also I've kind of felt pressure to do mediums that I'm not as comfortable in. So
you don't have to.
I'm comfortable in writing. So
you're a great writer. Do that. You're a really great writer. Keep doing that. And I think women will just resonate with that and feel that sense of safety and solace coming through your words, and a sense of being able to land in your very capable hands to move through this time. You just have so much compassion that comes through, and I think that it comes through in the written format beautifully. You don't have to do anything different.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I found it was similar as well. Writing was my preference too, and I really relied heavily on guest features and on adding the as seen in on my site to add that credibility. And the other thing was with my own content, like thinking about, I would not just write my own, I guess, posts and ideas, but I did this accidentally. I totally did not do this as a strategy or a purpose, but I would share like takeaways from books or thought leaders or workshops in related fields and themes. And I would get traffic coming from my website from them searching from these names that they knew, and names of people who didn't do the one-on-one work, but they might have books or programs around this work, and that's how they'd find me. And then they would resonate and see that I do the one-on-one support. And so that's actually how I got my first paying client ever, was from doing that.
It's so audacious, man.
so oopsie daisies, yay. So that really worked. And then the other thing I think was leaning into, and again, accident and completely awkward as well, and I talked about this a little bit on the last call, was leaning more into where I already have existing relationships and that no like trust factor. So sharing more on my personal page, because I always resisted that, instead of just my business page. And if family members or friends, or even if they weren't my ideal client, were liking it and sharing it, that's how I was getting referrals, was from them supporting my work. And also thinking about like other organizations or platforms or kind of peak bodies that I've had a relationship with and could do something with. So like the university here, for example, where I graduated from, they were happy for me to write things, to speak at things. And that got a lot of more clients as well, because there was that connection already and that personal trust there. So yeah, I was kind of leaning into those couple of things that
helped. I think the Facebook ads thing it can be a bit more of a long-term strategy, and you're certainly going to be harvesting the low hanging fruit, people that are really ready and they're just going to jump into it. But most sales are going to come from those relationships that people do know you over a period of time. And if you can get in front of people and they can feel your energy, is a really great way as well. So if you can do events or speak at your local libraries, I did a series of speeches around my local libraries on the Sunshine Coast, and I've got clients continue to buy from me now, continually now, 6-7 years later,
not that people are going to continue to get divorced every year, I don't think, Prue, but I hope not.
But then with the rates, they will know people that are getting divorced.
They might, yeah, yeah.
They can refer them on.
It'll be like Ross on Friends, yeah. Three divorces. So what, just echoing, I guess, what Naomi's saying is, we can tend to think that the money and the sales and the revenue are out there, but in fact, you know, our existing connections and networks are often enough to get things really rolling as well, and being grateful and nurturing those existing communities that we currently, or networks that we currently have, is what it's about. I remember when I first started too, because it was all very America-centric. You know, it was all sort of happening overseas, and it was so, the online business was all very, yeah, just felt very USA centric. And then it didn't feel like there was the possibility for things to grow in Australia. And it's not the case. We've got people in Australia that what we've got too. And our personal communities. I mean, it's lovely now. This is obviously a very Australian community in the mastermind this year. So that might not be the way that other people feel, but I certainly used to battle with that sensation that I had to try and find these new people, but there's people within our immediate circles.
Is there anything anyone else would add in there from their experience of getting clients that felt like it was the most... it paid off the best with the least amount of work?
What worked for you, Danny? Yeah, love to hear your thoughts.
So something that I'm working with this year is I'm not backward now in asking people who I either work with or have worked with. I'll send them what I've just written if I'm doing a special offer. I'm like, oh, can you comment on this and can you share it? And I'll set up a little group of people now where we'll each write something, and if we want someone to comment, we'll be the first people to comment. So there's a couple of people think I'm buying all their products and saying they think that they're buying all my stuff. And really we're just friends. But it then gets you into that different audience, and it just helps with the traction as well. But for me, on like my biggest scale, I think I was all just getting in front of people. Just showing up every day. And even with the Facebook ads, I would just do my own page a lot of times just to get that flowing out there a bit more and everything.
You mean boosting posts from your page, Denny?
No, just my page itself.
Oh, like just like posting the on the page.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I found that would work. But I'm a local area business though. So it's different to the online stuff. Like, not I'm online as well, but majority of my, I guess, money and clients all come from my local area. And then if people want to work with me and they don't live in the local area, that's when they'll go online, and that's all been referral. But yeah, I've found that building that little network of friends just to comment and share, that's been gold, because it's put me in a completely different market to what I was in. And because I targeted them as well. So one guy I do it with regularly, he's early 30s. He's all about stepping more into masculine energy and everything. So I don't get in front of those people. But so he shares my stuff regularly and I share his, because that's not my market either. But yeah, it's really, and then there's another woman I do it with as well, and she's all tantra based, so that's different to my style. But yeah, that's worked really well so far.
So audacious, Danny, again. Amazing.
At first it felt very shameless. Like, oh well.
It's great.
But yeah, now I just embrace it. And like, to the point now I'll message friends. I'm like, oh, look, I've just got this really good offer. If you could share it with your people, I know, especially too, when some of the specials I do have been really below what I've been normally offering. And so, like, one person said, no, I don't feel comfortable. Everyone else is like, oh, yeah, that's a great deal. Oh, I know someone who's going to do that. So, yeah, that's working.
That's great. Thanks, Denny.
Thanks, Denny.
I want to say bodacious. Yeah. So bodacious, dude.
That's cool.
Is that Beavis and Butthead or something? I don't know.
I have no idea.
Can I just ask another question as well?
Yes.
When you're doing either guest posting or interviews on podcasts, do you have a select criteria of who you work with and how the requests have to come to you?
In terms of if you'll accept it?
Yeah, well, as an instance, I got approached by someone through Instagram. Do you want to come on my podcast? No, I don't know who you are, what you do. And then I had this whole internal dialogue of, oh, well, maybe I should, it would be good for me, a good exposure. But then when there was no even, what was their topic going to be? What did they want me to talk about? There was no introduction about who they were, what their target audience was, what they wanted from me. And then when I looked at their Instagram following, it was 300 people.
Mm.
So, it just felt like a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
But then maybe those 300 people might have been 300 more people that I wouldn't know. But it felt too, didn't feel like enough structure, didn't feel like enough, I guess, even authority or even of being approached. I guess it didn't feel very businesslike.
Mm.
Because it was through an Instagram message rather than an email, and rather than explaining who they were, what their message was, what their aim in even contacting me was. Yeah, I was wondering, do you have strict criteria or even a criteria about who you'd accept a request from?
Yeah, I think I would have a similar reaction to you in that instance, Denny. I don't have a strict criteria. It's very intuitive led for me, and also taking a stock of what circumstances I've got in my life at the moment too, whether or not I've got the capacity to fulfill that obligation. But if I feel like a sparkle of delight and it's somebody that's got a small following but I really believe in what they're doing and I want to get behind it and it lights me up, it doesn't feel draining, I would still say yes. So it's not just based on figures for me. And then on the flip side, if it was something that I felt icky around but they had lots of numbers, I might still say no. Yeah, for me, it's very intuitive and very much just sort of taking a look at the bigger picture. I don't get a huge number of requests either, so I don't have to have a formal structure of being invited into those things. But I know that Leonie Dawson, for example, had a page that had very clear guidelines around what you needed to have in terms of numbers and all of that for inviting her to be on your podcast or on your blog and all that in years gone by, and Denise does the same now. So it can be something that you introduce if you get a larger influx, or just keep trusting your gut.
I'm similar. Numbers don't bother me so much, but I do like an integrity values type check. And I will, if they haven't put any effort into the invite and tell me who they are and why they want to talk and what it's about, well, no, I'm not going to waste my time there. Like, you can at least try. And yeah, I do go and look at all their platforms and see whether I want my name to be attached to that person and to their work and to what they're doing. I probably do have a checklist somewhere with
of course.
Yeah. I think I had to actually, as part of my B Corp, create something around that, so it would be in my operations manual, but I don't look at it. I do more of a intuitive, I guess, process as well, and I'm really looking at values and whether I feel integrity to be attached to that person and their brand.
Yeah, I think that's really important, that point there about doing the due diligence around that person and their brand. I ended up going to this. This is a strange story, but I went to this. It was called Success 3.0, and it was a event over in Denver, Colorado. And it had huge names attached to it, like the CEO of Whole Foods and Alanis Morissette, Ariana Huffington, Marie Forleo and all these names that I was like, oh yeah, I want to go to that. That looks fantastic. And the fellow that was doing it turned out to be a pedophile, and he had brought these people together and he was using their names to establish himself as like a cult leader in America. He'd been ousted as a rabbi in Israel, and I'm like finding this out while I'm sitting in there, and I've spent $7,000 to be there, and I'm just going, oh my God, I'm so sick. Thankfully we got our money back. But Marie cancelled and she didn't show up, and I think that she did her due diligence and she found out and she pulled out. But other people were being video conferenced in and they had no idea what they were being involved with on the other side of the monitor. So definitely doing some research into facilitators and just doing a Google search. But he'd been a bit sneaky, tried to hide behind the Whole Foods guy and use other people's names.
It's handy as well if you're wanting to expand your staff, obviously, and have someone who's going to be doing that for you and answering your inbox and things like that. I think that's initially why I did put some criteria together, so that they could do a bit of a filter for me before sending something to me. And just because some other big name that you like and trust is associated with it, sometimes I think we just assume that it's okay, and that you need to do that further digging sometimes that Nick's mentioned there to find out.
And don't go to Success 3.0. Yes. You don't need it.
Definitely not.
Michael Franti was there. He came along and he was just like, what the hell's going on? It was such a weird experience.
Any lingering thoughts or questions?
Cool. Thanks, ladies. I feel a bit weird telling that story. I feel a bit sick just remembering it all. It was such a traumatic thing. Anyway, try and put that out.
Thank you for sharing it, though, because it's a really, I think, obvious for all of us example of how things can go really wrong if you don't do that check. And if we do, just go, oh, yes, this is an opportunity to get in front of some new people, or sometimes the topic itself feels aligned, but if you go and investigate the full lineup, it mightn't be diverse, or it might have other problematic people in it, or it might have something in it. So,
good.
So you prompted.
That's good.
Let's do our research.
I was crying at the Denver airport, and my husband had to play a little bit of Slim Dusty to try and help me snap out of it. It was the most funny thing. We've got Mormons all around us and I'm like, he's playing Slim Dusty and I'm, oh my God, I'm just it's really funny. In Salt Lake City. Anyway.
Why Slim Dusty? Why did
we choose? Oh, because we both like Slim Dusty. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of mother fella.
That's awesome. Yeah. As an aside, we wonder if my husband's named after him. So I think his parents might have liked them too.
Yeah, cool. Well, we love Dusty. You're Dusty. So there you go. It's, yeah.
All right. I guess we do that part of the day where we have to say goodbye.
Yeah. To wrap up. I don't even have to go to the toilet, so it doesn't even feel like that necessary. Anyway, we have to go.
Yeah, and you needed a bio break last time. Yeah. It was good. It was well timed, though. It was while we were tech difficulties.
Thanks, everyone, for being here. It's really lovely to connect with you all.
Yeah, and we'll upload this and I'll find that specific link about the Facebook ads learning phase as well and put that in there. And we'll see you in the group, I guess.
Yeah, use the group and listen to the recording if you have time from this morning's call, because we covered quite a few different topics too, so you might enjoy that.
Thanks,
everyone. Bye, everyone. Take care.
Bye.
See ya.